you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Josh Vernier. Vern, how you doing today, my man?
Very well, C-Dot. How are you?
I'm doing great. Vern, it feels like it's been a while since you and I have talked. For someone that I actually, in theory, I talk to pretty frequently, it feels like it's been a while.
Well, you've been on vacation, man. You've been globetrotting.
I was gone one day. Okay, let's calm down. I was gone one day. Vacation.
Nobody gets more vacation than C-Dot, right, text line?
Oh, my goodness. No, not you too, Vern. Not you too. This is
terrible. It's too easy, man. It's too easy. I got to take it. Let's all pile on.
This is terrible. Vern, I do want to ask you this question. Earlier today, I was filling in on Sirius, and I got a chance to catch up with Jim Abbott. And I actually was not excited
Michigan.
About, you know, he threw a no-hitter, and he has an E60 coming out. I was actually most excited to talk to him because he was on an episode of Boy Meets World. We spent 10 minutes just talking about that.
Flint, Michigan, University of Michigan, one of the most inspiring stories in the history of sports. No, man, that's awesome. I don't think I've ever talked to the Wolverine legend. So that's a nice little feather in the cap of a cap that has plenty of feathers in it.
Yeah, I just love a good 90s cameo. You know, when you go back and you rewatch those shows, it's just like they just always just had like a random 90s athlete or celebrity on those shows. It was always awesome.
Yeah, Vander Holyfield showing up on Fresh Prince. Them living next door to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Yeah, that was late 90s, but still. Yeah, no, I loved all that.
So there's actually a lot to get your thoughts on. What do you make of Cole Reagans being moved to the 60-day IL?
Yeah, I think that's, well, hopefully. I'm going to have a chance to talk with the manager coming up here in about 20 minutes. But yeah, hopefully that's just procedural. You know, this was an injury that we thought would keep him out until August. He went on the IL at the beginning of June, so 60 days puts you at the beginning of August. So it's still possible that Cole Reagans helps this team in the final, you know, 40 games of the season. It's a way to open up a roster spot on the 40-man roster for the added Cam Devaney, as with all due respect to the 28-year-old who is about to make his big league debut, with all due respect to Cam Devaney, this is now the final option that this offense has internally. They have exhausted everybody that has done anything offensively. I mean, unless we want to start talking about the 21-year-old in Carter Jensen who just got bumped up to AAA, this is it. You know, the next move to improve the offense has to come externally.
Do you think that this signifies that Reagans is done for the rest of the year? Because I'm just kind of playing this out a little bit. Let's say that you can take him off the IL. I believe it is August 5th. He probably has to make 2 rehab starts, you would think. We're talking about bringing Cole Reagans back toward the end of August. Unless the Royals are in it, I don't really see much of a value of Cole Reagans making 3 or 4 starts in September 14 that's not making the postseason.
Yeah, that's certainly fair, especially now since he doesn't have to go through the arbitration process. Those contract details have been all ironed out as the team and Reagans came to an agreement this offseason. Yeah, no, I certainly would not argue that. You still want him to get back to go into the offseason feeling good, not necessarily getting back to the big league level, but just getting back on the bump. So yeah, you want to see him get healthy, but sure, if the team's out of it, if there's no chance that he can help, yeah, certainly no reason to rush him back, but if he's good to go, I want Cole Reagans out there earning his money.
Are you disappointed that you won't get a chance to watch Paul Skenes pitch this week? I know that it's better for the Royals that he's not on the bump, but I'm disappointed that one of the 3 games you don't get a chance to go see the best pitcher in baseball.
Yeah, of course. Anytime you know, that's the thing that always frustrates me is, not always frustrates me, but when the Royals are going through a tough patch and people pity me and, oh, Vern, I don't know how you do it, man. I don't know how you watch that. You know, there's still another team out there, and they have a bunch of professionals, and I have to imagine that of these 2 teams that are fielding a ball club at the highest level, that there are some intriguing players or noteworthy stars out there on the diamond. So, yeah, seeing someone great, Yeah, we all love it as a sports fan. So, yeah, it's disappointing, but the Royals are desperate for wins. And Paul Skeens, shoot, man, it's going to be tough to beat the guy tonight, Mitch Keller. Paul Skeens, thank God this offense isn't seeing him.
I don't know if we've seen anything like Skeens so far. Like, it reminds me of Greinke when he won the Cy Young back with the Royals. I believe that was in 2007. Just a pitcher who has been generational, gets very little run support. We're talking about a guy who has a sub-2 ERA that's going to start the All-Star game, or should, for the first 2 years of his career. He has one win in his last 13 starts. He's 4-7 this year, and no pitcher has ever won the Cy Young with the losing record, but he is by far and away the favorite to win the award.
Wow, wow. Yeah, I didn't realize just how many L's he's been a part of. Noah Cameron knows about that. Noah finally getting a win last night. His 11th start. Royals had lost 8 of his first 10 outings. Yeah, but that's the Pittsburgh Pirates, man. I mean, Pirates haven't been relevant in 2 decades. They don't spend money. And when they do, they spend it incorrectly. They make awful moves. It's a terrible franchise. You know, bottom line.
Right now, we're talking to our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, for a couple of more minutes here. Vern, Passan thinks that the Pirates have the best stadium in baseball, more modern stadium, not comparing it to a Fenway or a Wrigley. Have you been to Pittsburgh Park?
No.
What do you think of it?
No, never been there. But, yeah, I've always heard that and Seattle are the two best, and I'm yet to attend a game at either.
Is there another stadium that's also on your list? So, like, if you're making your list, what are the stadiums that you haven't been to that you want to make sure you catch a game at some point?
Fenway. Fenway's the only one I haven't been to. I've driven past it, but I've never been to a game there. So, without question, the legendary Fenway Park would be the answer.
Yeah, that's probably number one on my list, too. I've been to Wrigley Field a couple of times, and when you just walk in there, Wrigley's just special. Like, it's really hard to explain to people that haven't been there. It's one thing to see it on TV. It's another thing to actually go and watch a game there. Wrigley's incredible.
Yeah, and what's interesting, listen, spring training. But of all the spring training games or stadiums to attend, Sloan Park, where the Cubs play, obviously it's not Wrigley. But what you're describing, that intangible of when you walk in, am I rooting for the Cubs? Wait, what the hell's going on here? You know, you're singing the Go Cubs Go song after you're like, I don't even like the Cubs. That happens even in their ballpark out there in spring training. Yeah, the Cubs do baseball right, especially when you get those afternoon games at Wrigley.
Right now, we're talking to our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, for a few more minutes here. We were just talking about this right before you popped on. Do you see trading Seth Lugo for the Royals as waving the white flag?
If they do it today, yeah. Yeah, just because they don't have another starter that could fill his spot in any capacity. I mean, it would be 45-year-old Rich Hill who's getting his brains beat in this afternoon up in Omaha. If you pull the trigger right now on the 8th of July, how do you offset it? Do you believe in the offense that we've seen over the past week? That would be my response right now. If J.J. Piccolo came to me and if I'm John Sherman, he says, hey, I want to trade Seth Lugo. Yeah, okay, I agree. We got to trade Seth Lugo. But that is a white flag. Unless you can prove to me that it's not a white flag, man, I want you to take this thing all the way to July 31st. We got 70 games to go. Majority of those games are at home. I'm not interested in waving the white flag 3 weeks before the trade deadline. No, I agree. You got to move him. No reason to hang on to a guy that you're not going to sign this offseason in a market like this, in a season like this. But if I'm John Sherman, I'm not willing to wave that white flag until the deadline of the 31st. Because, I don't see where you would turn to and say, okay, we just lost one of the 30 best pitchers in the sport this season, but we're still going to stay in the fight because we can cover it here. You know, the Tigers were able to cover it last season because of their bullpen and their pitching chaos. I don't know how the Royals would cover losing Seth Lugo, but I agree. You got to move him. But if I'm the, head people in charge, I'm going to take it closer to the wire. His price is only going to go up so long as I believe in his health.
And I think that's a very fair stance to have. What I was kind of debating with the text line is, to me at that point, if you are keeping Lugo, let's say it's July 27th, and you're keeping him with the hope that you're four and a half, five games back of the third wild card spot that you're going to make a push for, to me, you're not thinking about the bigger picture. Right. I think the Royals can really set themselves up in 26. If you got Bubich, Reagans is back healthy, Noah Cameron, you make some moves in the outfield.
Waka.
To then solidify their lineup, the Royals could win the division in 2026. And to your point, to what you just said, Seth Lugo is just not going to be on the team next year. He is going to opt out and be a free agent. So if you're telling me that right now his value could not be as hot as it is right now, you owe it to yourself to turn that into legitimate prospects, win that trade, and use those pieces to help you win your division next year.
And right now, I don't think you could get something for Seth Lugo that helps you in 26. Now, right now, as we get closer to the deadline and teams get more and more desperate, then yeah, possibly. But right now, and maybe that sounds silly because, man, if you acquire him now, you get an extra four starts out of Seth Lugo. Why would you wait? Because you got to think of the type of team that's looking to add Seth Lugo, right? It's a team that has plans of making it to the postseason this year, and you have to imagine plans of making it to the postseason next year. So how many big league-ready bats or big league-ready arms does a team that's trying to go to the postseason this season, how many big league-ready pieces are they willing to part with as they prepare for a postseason push in the final 2 months? Now, again, as we get closer to the deadline, prices will go up and teams will get desperate. And there will be, about a half a dozen teams that are in a playoffs or bust scenario. Obviously, that's not the case for the Royals. So if I'm JJ, if I'm John Sherman, I'm praying Seth Lugo stays healthy tonight. And I'm hoping that price goes up and hoping that more teams stay in it, right? You want the Diamondbacks to stay in it so they don't make Zach.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gallen available. You want the other right-handed trade options to stay on quality teams because, to me, in a market like this, even if the Royals get red hot and win every single game going into the All-Star break, you still need to trade Seth Lugo. If you're above 500, I still think you need to trade Seth Lugo because if you're above 500, that means maybe this offense is starting to turn it around because it's not just we're living and dying with our starting pitching. Again, it goes back to my edict to the front office. Prove to me that it's not a white flag and you can move Seth Lugo today. But until you can do that, let's take this thing to the deadline.
That is our guy, Josh Vernier, joining us on the show today, our Royals insider, as the Royals won game one against the Pirates to potentially sweep this series. Vern, I was watching the game yesterday, and I was thinking, I know things aren't so hot for the Royals, but it could always be worse. They could be the Pirates.
Oh, my goodness.
That seems bad. That seems real bad.
And there's no hope for the future. You remember 2009 is when Greinke won that Cy Young. Yeah, I would imagine it felt a lot like 2009 of how do we have this freakazoid talent? And to be honest, Skeens might be even better than Greinke at that point, right? When Greinke's not coming out of college the way that Paul Skeens was, and they can't even give him a win. Yeah, that's makes you appreciate where we're at, no doubt.
That is our guy joining us on the show, Josh Vernier. Vern, we appreciate you.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Absolutely. That is Josh Vernier joining us on the show today. Let's talk a little bit more about Paul Skeens coming up on the other side, and we'll talk about the controversy surrounding Patrick Mahomes. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
I want to read this text really quickly, and I do want to talk about Paul Skeens here, and we'll talk about the controversy around Patrick Mahomes. Someone just texted in, CDOT, this isn't 2017. The Royals don't have ready-made pieces ready to sell for a big haul, so they might as well just make a small buy this year and see what happens the rest of the season. This is where I'll push back. A small buy for the Royals is not fixing their problems. The Royals are last in offense. You know we love a good cross-sport comparison. This would be like if your team didn't have a quarterback and at the deadline you went out and you traded for a third wide receiver. You added Mecole Hardman at the deadline. You think that's changing your offense? They're last. Last. So no, the Royals going out and making a small buy at the deadline and seeing what happens. The answer is nothing. You know what the Royals have in their offense? A lot of small buys. You know what they have in their outfield? A whole bunch of small buys. A small buy is not fixing their issue. Trading Lugo, getting some valuable prospects, and or spending money this offseason. You know what the Royals could really use? They could use an outfielder that hits 270 with a little bit of pop and could drive in runs. That ain't a small buy. That's what they need. Going out there and picking up the journeyman fourth outfielder, you won't know what they got? A bunch of those. They got a plethora of those. You ever gone out shopping and you just kept looking at blue shirts and your wife looked at you and like, don't you already have that shirt? Oh, no, no, this one's different. This one has, no. Babe, you have that shirt at home. Yes. And you go, you think like, yeah, I do kind of got it. That shirt's not different. It's not. It's just new. It's the same blue shirt that you've been wearing. Why don't you get a different color shirt? Get a red shirt this time. Get a yellow shirt. Really make a statement. That's what I want the Royals to do. I don't want any more small buys. I'm tired of getting the clothes from TJ Maxx. Why don't we walk into this other store? Let's walk over here. I mean, nothing wrong with TJ Maxx. Sometimes, hey, TJ Maxx, go in there and get yourself a belt. Maybe some khakis. Their offense needs a little more than that. Their offense needs a little bit more pop. 6-9 has been a problem for the Royals all season. And they have tried a bunch of different combinations to try to fix it. Every combination they have tried to fix the bottom of their lineup, it ain't fixed. They need to spend money or trade for someone. You just heard it from Vern. Every possible option in-house to fix their offense is up now at this point. Cam Devaney, Jack Caglione, John Rave, Nick Law, any in-house option that they have expended it. They have to look outside their organization. They have to look outside their roster and spend some money to try to help solidify the bottom half of their lineup and give themselves a legitimate outfield bat, which they have not really had consistently at any point in 2025.
I am really happy the texture used 2017 as an example, because I think holding on to Seth Lugo, while not as egregious as 2017, would be in that same ballpark. Because remember, 2017, the Royals were in the last go-round. Remember the Hosmer and Moose and Kane, and that group all walked off the field together the final day of the season, and it was like a big emotional moment. And the Royals didn't make the playoffs that year. They finished 81-8. Maybe they may have finished 80-82. I know they're around 500. And Dayton Moore made a mistake. You could argue the rebuild was set back because he held on to Kane, Moose, Hosmer just for vibes. They were not going to be a playoff team in 2017. And he didn't see the bigger picture. He didn't see the next season, the season after that. And 2018 Royals baseball was real bad, and it didn't get good for a long time after that. You can't be caught doing that again. You can't keep Seth Lugo and be 82-80 and be like, well, the vibes were good toward the end of the season. No. If you're J.J. Piccolo, see the bigger picture. Now, I agree with Vern. Maybe don't do it on July 8th. But if it's July 28th and you get an offer, you absolutely have to pull the trigger. Keeping Lugo and making small buys is just nonsensical to me.
I want to read to you guys very quickly some tweets from friend of the show, Andrew Filippone. I don't have to ask you, Rob, if Andrew Filippone is friend of the show, because he is absolutely friend of the show. Now, I will preface this with, I had absolutely no clue these things about Paul Skenes. I don't really spend a lot of my time looking up Paul Skenes statistics, but this was some crazy work. Paul Skenes has made 22 road starts in his career. He has a 1.56 ERA in those starts. In his last 13 starts for Paul Skenes, he has amassed one win with a 7.12 ERA. The Pirates, this weekend, they did not score a run. The entire 4th of July weekend, think about all the things that you did over the 4th of July weekend. Rob, were you in town? Maybe you went down to the lake. Think about how many beers you had, how many hot dogs you had, how many friends and family. During that entire period, the Pirates did not score. They didn't score on Friday. They didn't score on Saturday. They didn't score on Sunday. That is the first time since 1888. I'm going to say that again. It was the first time in a three-game series that the Pirates had been shut out since 1888. Grover Cleveland was the president. Grover Cleveland. He's 4-7. There's never been a pitcher that has won the Cy Young Award in either league that has a losing record. Paul Skeens will likely be the first. That team is bad. I mean, real bad. I'm not here to put down the Royals. I'm not here to hate on the Royals and their win. You got to get them based on the teams that are on the schedule. I'm just simply telling you that the Pirates, the Royals got to sweep the Pirates. They got to sweep that team. They're bad. I mean, they're real, real bad. You got to take care of business against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Rob, have you been to their stadium? I've seen their stadium from the outside, but I've never been before. Have you been to the Pirates Stadium?
I've actually never been to Pittsburgh in general. Now, I know that's shocking because it's such a great tourist town. There's so many things to do, so many beaches, so many resort types things to do in Pittsburgh. But I have not been to their ballpark because I've actually never been to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So I hear nothing but good things. People rave about the food. People rave about the backdrop. People rave about every part of the ballpark gets rave reviews. But it alone is not dragging me to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I'm sorry.
I remember we did this topic a couple of months ago, and now's just a good time to kind of rehash it for a bit. If you had to spin the wheel and had to get a new favorite team, the Pirates being your favorite team would be a real bad team to get. Like right now, if you just spun the wheel and right now, whatever your favorite team is, your favorite team is the Kansas Jayhawks, the Chiefs, whatever your favorite team is, and you spun the wheel right now, and this is going to be your number one favorite team, ride or die, emotion team. If you got the Pittsburgh Pirates, you'd be very disappointed if that's the team that you got. They're bad. They've had one winning season since 2016. That year, they went 82-79. They did that in 2018. They haven't made the playoffs since 2015. So since the Royals have won the World Series, they have not been to the postseason. They haven't finished double digits within first place in their division since then. They have just been bad. They are 38-54 this year. They won 76 games the last 2 years, 62 wins, 61 wins since COVID. Even in the COVID season, they went 19-41. The Pirates would be an awful favorite team to have.
I don't think they'd be good. Sign me up for not being a fan of that team. But if I spun the wheel and got the Pirates, I at least could be like, hey, I get to see Paul Skeens. Like, once every fifth day, I get to see Paul Skeens. What do the Rockies have going for them? What do Browns fans have going for them? If you spun the wheel and you got the Washington Wizards, that is light years worse than being a Pirates fan.
I'm much rather cheer for the Wizards.
I bet the average listener in Kansas City can't name a wizard. And at least there's Paul Skeens with
Merlin.
The Pirates.
Merlin. That's all I can name. Can't name anybody else. Who is on the Wizards? Who else do they have?
They wanted Cooper Flagg. They did not win the lottery.
Alex Czar, did they get him? He went to Atlanta. They got the other French guy. Yeah, I don't know if I could name another player of the Wizards off the top of my head. I'd have to really, really think about it if I can name another player. You're going to name one. I'm like, oh, yeah, that guy does play for the Wizards.
I mean, I legitimately cannot name it. Marcin Gortat, I mean, is he still in the league?
Yeah, I don't know. Now we're going like, I can name more former Wizards, oh, certainly, 100%. Than current Wizards. Yeah, I don't think I can name anybody.
Wizards would be the absolute worst team. I still think Browns would be worse because just the constant laughing stock of the NFL, which is a bigger league, would be worse. And I still think Rockies would be worse because, again, it would be near the bottom. But if I get to see Paul Skeens in my hometown jersey, that's something at least. There's a little bit of something to that.
So let's talk about this. It has been a controversy around the Kansas City Chiefs for the last 24 hours or so. I'm sure by now you guys are aware. At the comments, former sports talk host here in Kansas City was very, very critical of Patrick Mahomes and his body, his diet, his conditioning, etc. This is something that Mahomes has kind of mentioned before in the past. Rob, pull this. This was after the 49ers game.
No, I was just – I actually was not trying to, like, lower my shoulder. I was trying to, like, absorb the hit because I knew I was going to be right in the end of, right there in the end zone. And that dad bod, man, just had enough weight on me where he went down. So it wasn't like I was necessarily trying to, like, seek out contact. I was trying to absorb it and get in the end zone and just ended up looking good for me.
Now, I don't know if you guys are going to take this take as – well, he comes on the show. Of course you would say that. If that's how you feel, that's fine. I think it's kind of clear why Mahomes is built the way that he is built. This is what I have been told to some extent. This is sort of based on how the Chiefs and how he moves. I think you can put two and two together. I think that Mahomes and his trainer have come up with the perfect plan of keeping him healthy. From all aspects, diet, sleep, water intake, all of the things that you need to be a high-level athlete. I don't think that Patrick Mahomes' trainer thinks that he needs to have 1% body fat to be a productive NFL player. I think they have pretty clearly told Mahomes, hey, we think your body weight needs to be somewhere between here and here. We think your body fat needs to be somewhere in between here and here. You play a long, grueling, physical game, and you play it longer than most NFL quarterbacks. You've been playing somewhere between 19 to 21 NFL games for the last 5-6 years or so. We don't think it's in your best interest to be lean, rock hard, cut. We don't think that's in your best interest. We want you to have a little bit more padding so you can absorb those hits. You can absorb the blows. When you go down to the ground, there's more cushion there. I think that Patrick Mahomes' body is by design. I think we have seen Pat work enough in the videos that we've seen on the television shows. And like, I've talked to Mahomes enough to kind of come to this conclusion. I think he's somebody willing to do whatever it takes to win. And if you told Mahomes, hey, like, let's say that he and his trainer were having an honest conversation. To me, that person shouldn't be your trainer if he can't tell you what's real. Hey, Pat, you're getting kind of up there a little bit. You're packing on the LBs a little bit. Hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to cut out carbs. We're going to cut out this. We're going to cut out sugars. I'm going to create you a food intake that you need every single day to be the best football player you can be. I believe Pat would do it. I also think, and Rob, we've asked him this before, he doesn't drink liquor during the season. So you're cutting out something. Maybe you have a beer here. Maybe you drink a vodka drink in the summer. Hey, once the football season starts, that's not part of my diet. That's not part of what I do anymore. I think they monitor that stuff really, really closely. That I think we have this idea of sort of an athletic body of what you need to look like. I think Patrick Mahomes' trainer actually thinks the opposite. Hey, if you want to play NFL quarterback, especially at his size and with how mobile he is, using Tom Brady as an example, A, Mahomes is just a bigger human being than Tom Brady is, and their games and play style are very different. Brady was not one to take off. He was not one on third down to run for 12 yards. So I think what Tom body needs and what it requires is very different than what Pat body needs. I also think just based on his trainer's reaction and how it's come up now multiple times over the last couple of weeks. Remember, Ben Roethlisberger said something like this a couple of days ago about it, and his trainer kind of snapped at him a little bit.
Take Aaron in his prime or Patrick Mahomes now?
Yeah.
Well, I would take Aaron in his prime over Patrick now. I think Aaron Rodgers in his prime was one of the top few to ever do it. And so is Patrick Mahomes at his prime. Patrick Mahomes is just like entering out of his prime, I think.
You think?
I mean, I think Patrick Mahomes is a phenomenal. He's going to go down as another arguable GOAT. Mm-hmm. I think that Aaron in his prime, then we're talking about Patrick right now.
Yeah.
If we're talking prime and prime, then I'm gonna really have to think hard on that. Like I am. And listen, and by no stretch of the imagination am I saying Patrick Mahomes is not good. If this was a question of right now
that'd be the
versus
headline.
The best.
That'd be the headline.
I know. Roethlisberger thinks Mahomes terrible.
And the funny thing is, Mahomes' trainer kind of snapped at Ben a little bit. His trainer snapped at this radio host for this. We're talking about a podcast segment and his trainer that kind of led me to a couple of things. Number one, I think this is something that Mahomes and his team are sensitive about. And I don't think that's a bad thing to be sensitive about things. Like, we've kind of painted, if you feel a way about something, that shows a sign of weakness. We all kind of have that thing. I think it's clear. They know what people say about this. They think that it's silly. They think they have explained it away. And yet people continue to poke at it. Ha, ha, ha. Look, I think it's something that they are very, very knowledgeable on. I also think, too, and I don't think they'll ever say this, I think Pat kind of sends his trainer to do some of the dirty work. I think he sends him to do some of the dirty work. Hey, I can't reply and say this from my Twitter account. That's not stopping you from doing it. I think that's kind of clear that happens. Now, I'm not saying that Pat texts his trainer, hey, I want you to reply X, Y, and Z. I think that most of the messages that come from his Twitter account are Patrick Mahomes approved. And I think if Pat wanted his trainer to stop talking like this, he would have stopped talking like this years ago. Hey, stop it. I don't want you to do that. Hey, I know it's your Twitter account. I can't tell you what to do, but it's my brand. You represent me. We don't talk about the other players that you train, and I'm sure you train a bunch. You are my trainer. Stop doing that. I think he's like, oh, yeah, cool. Hey, no problem. Hey, I won't do that anymore. This wouldn't be an issue if Pat didn't want it to be an issue. I think that Bobby Stroop is the hitman in some ways. Pat gets to keep his shiny, clean image, and Bobby goes out there and does the dirty work. Bobby is normally for the smoke, and I'm cool with that. You guys know my stance. Hey, if you are allowed to give an opinion, he's not allowed to give an opinion. You guys can go back and forth. Let's just keep it at tweets and words. There's no hard feelings there. But I think this is a clear message from his team. Hey, we have this under control. We're good. This is our design. And I also think as Pat gets older and has our bodies change as we get older, I think they will adjust accordingly. They got the Mahomes thing down to a science. They track his heart rate in game. Remember when we got that thing about the 29 or the 22 seconds or whatever, where it was, hey, this was his heart rate then. Like, I think they are spending an exorbitant amount of time, money, and resources to make sure that Pat is a tip-top shape athlete. And I think it's just our perception that if you're a high-level athlete, you got to look like an Olympian bodybuilder. I don't think that's the way Pat and his team feels. I think they want him kind of carrying that extra weight. So when you run over guys like you did against San Francisco, there's enough muscle there to absorb the hit. I think it's all by their design.
I also would understand, like you talked about, you know, he gets kind of picked on this on the internet. I also would understand if I'm his personal trainer, how I would take a little bit of personal offense to the jokes online. If I was the personal trainer, my job was to build a regimen for Patrick Mahomes to be at his healthiest for, what, 22 weeks of the NFL season, plus that, because he's healthy in St. Joe and all those things, and me and my client sat down and built a plan, and the plan is working, and third-party people online started, you know, picking on me and saying I'm doing a bad job or insulting my client's physique, I understand why he headed to social media and clapped back a little bit. Hey, I'm actually doing a good job and you're insinuating I'm doing a bad job. I get how it got under the skin of the personal trainer. I get how it could potentially get under the skin of Patrick Mahomes, but I have never once watched him play football, whether that be in August up in St. Joe in shorts and a t-shirt, or in January when it's freezing cold out in Buffalo, and thought to myself, yeah, I don't think he's in very good shape. And there have been times where you've seen athletes, you know, on the field, whether it be football, basketball, baseball, anything, to yourself, oh, I don't think he's in the best shape of his life. I've never once felt that with Mahomes. I actually think they do an incredible job, Mahomes, because he does take a lot of hits. He does, you know, run around. He does scramble. He does do all those things. And largely, outside of the one freak kneecap incident, he is healthy. And that's a testament to his training regimen and program. So I get why his trainer and him could potentially feel a little bit of a way that his physique gets made fun of online when they're actually doing a good job, because it comes off from people who do this job that they're making fun of the job that person is doing. I don't believe that's true.
Yeah, I mean, none of the injuries that Mahomes has had so far in his career have been related to this. Like, he's had some ankle injuries, but I don't care. I mean, if a guy rolls up your ankle, I don't care how much I don't care what you've been doing to your diet. You're getting injured in the scenarios that we've seen with Patrick Mahomes. You mentioned the knee injury where he dislocated his kneecap. That is not a injury that is related to this topic. So, again, it's something to monitor as Mahomes' body changes. It's going to change. He's 27, 28 years old. He's going to be 30 years old here soon. He's going to be 35 years old. What you're doing from a diet training regimen at that age, it's going to evolve over time. But there's no question to me that he's built the team around him that he trusts and knows what they're doing. I think they're all on one accord about what that means for him as an athlete. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to have a toss-up Tuesday. Talk a little NFL here. I'll explain more in a bit. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Hey, it's Lucas Ersig from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with CDOT on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll get back to sports coming up at the top of the hour. Now, I am not here to judge your activities. I have a pretty simple rule that I try not to spend my free time really worrying a whole lot about what other people do in their free time. You're allowed to do whatever you want to do. Now, I'm adventurous in some ways, but in some ways, I am not. I don't have any interest in bungee jumping. Maybe you do. Maybe you've gone a couple of times and you loved it. Maybe you've gone skydiving. Maybe you've done some other extreme sports, extreme physical activities that don't make a lot of sense to me. But you know what? That's your choice. You're allowed to be into those things. I don't ride roller coasters. Roller coasters are not part of my life. I will go to the amusement park with you, but I'm not getting on any of those rides. I'm the designated coat guy. I'm the designated hold my purse guy, and I'm happy to hold it. I'll sit there. I'll be on my phone. I'll go do some other stuff. I don't want to get on that roller coaster with you. I can't believe that you want to get on that roller coaster. I don't like the way they make me feel. Now, I'm going to tell you guys a story. I don't know if I've ever told you this before, but this is important to me. Every year when I was a kid, we would go to St. Louis. My mom was just raising me at the time, didn't have a whole lot of money, so it was a really big deal to go to St. Louis for a road trip. And we would go to Six Flags. I don't remember how old I was, maybe 6, 7, maybe 8 years old. And this time it was cool because a lot of my family members came, so it wasn't just me and my mom. It was really cool. Now, I don't know if you guys remember the old Six Flags or not, or maybe this ride is still there. It was called the Mine Train. And I'm thinking, all my cousins are getting on here. I also want to ride the Mine Train. I'd never ridden a roller coaster before. I get on this thing. And I'm telling you, it was the scariest experience of my life. I've never been on a roller coaster since. I'm serious. I've never been on one since. What I don't like about roller coasters, you know that feeling in your stomach when you get on a roller coaster? I don't like that feeling. It does not feel good. It does not feel fun. I also don't like that I can't end this experience when I want to. Because once you're on there, you're on there. There's no getting off the roller coaster. There's no like, wee, that was fun. I think I'll stop now. No, we're in the middle of it. You've made the decision that you're riding this. So some of you are like, oh, Carrington, you're crazy. You've never ridden the Mamba? No. I don't even go to that part of the park. I don't even want you to think that I'm considering getting on the Mamba. I am not. I'm not getting on your Mr. Freeze or your Batman or any of these rides that you have deemed to be fun. I've never gotten on them. I don't have any interest or desire to get on there. The reason I'm telling you guys this story is because I need you to help me understand the logic of the person that would find themselves in this situation, because this person would never be me.
The tallest, fastest, and longest tilt roller coaster in North America has not had a successful start. Take a look at this video obtained by 19 News. People stuck on Cedar Point's newest ride, Siren's Curse, forced to get off after it broke down Wednesday night. This is the second time it's broken down since it opened on Saturday. You can see riders carefully walking along the tracks, hundreds of feet in the air. eventually making their way to a small emergency staircase. People who were at the park reported the riders being trapped for close to 40 minutes. These photos show a crew working to get everyone off the ride. We were told by a spokesperson from Cedar Point that riders were escorted off because it would not restart. Cedar Point celebrated the opening of Siren's Curse just 5 days ago on June 28th. Just hours into the grand opening, the 160-foot roller coaster experienced issues. The amusement park said it had a delay that paused the ride's operation, and the ride was stuck in the vertical position for approximately 10 minutes.
So hold on, let me get this straight. Because I can look at a calendar. This ride opened on June 28th. It is already stopped mid-service twice. And folks still riding it? Hey, what's going on, man? You're telling me that you heard this thing just opened up. You're excited. Oh, it's going to be great. It's the newest ride, Cedar Park. Oh, I'm sure this is fun. You're telling me that you heard this thing got stuck for 40 minutes. You know how long 40 minutes is? One episode of Law and Order is 44 minutes. I mean, from the open until they solve the case, you have been stuck on this roller coaster. You're like, oh, that's not that big of a deal. I'm sure they got the kinks out. And then you went back on the roller coaster a second time and it got stuck again? You must be crazy. You want me to tell you the situation that I will never find myself in? I've found myself in some crazy situations. You know the situation I will never find myself in? Walking on the roller coaster. That's not a place I need to be taking a walk. There's plenty of places I'll take a walk. I'm not walking on the roller coaster. I've been at the amusement park. I've seen some of you walking on the roller coaster. I would never get on that thing again. 40 minutes? Just sitting there, hanging there, unsure of how long this will be. Never. You'll never catch me in this situation. Again, I don't judge you. If you like to ride roller coasters, that's awesome. I'm sure they're fun. They look fun. Every time I see a roller coaster, I think, man, you know what? I wish I wanted to get on these things. They seem really fun. I've been to Worlds of Fun with my friends, and everybody is riding rides and on the detonator and the boomerang and doing all this stuff. I wish that was in me. It's not. It's not. And stories like this confirm that I made the right decision. Somebody told me one time that the reason they made the sidewalk is because everybody ain't made for the street. That's how I feel when it comes to roller coasters. That's why they have it paved downstairs. That's why it's nice down there. Look at all the cool things they have down there. They got games and stuffed animals and diners. That's why they have all these things, because I'm not made to be up there with you. There's nothing up there for me. Nothing. Not a single thing up there for me. I don't want any parts of it. Please keep that away from me. I will never get on your roller coaster. I will never ride one. Oh, you got to give it a try. I don't want to. I don't want to give it a try. It doesn't sound fun.
I'm not trying to be mean. What do you do at Worlds of Fun if you don't get on the roller coaster? What is that?
Vibes. Walk around. That's what I do. So vibes.
You're paying $25 to walk around?
Rob, you think I pay to go to Worlds of Fun?
You're wasting ticket fare resources to walk around? You can walk around anywhere.
I'm just asking. I'm just saying, you think I pay to go to Worlds of Fun? You think I don't ride roller coasters and I pay? No chance.
Do you at least ride like the Viking Voyager and the small little ones?
Yeah, I'll ride that. I'll get on a little Fury of the Nile.
Oh, yeah.
I'll get on a little water ride. Yeah, I'll get on that.
You do some stuff, just not everything.
I'm not riding that. Oh, Carrington, so you're a P word. Yes. No, 100%. I'm okay with being that. I'm perfectly fine when it comes to that. No. Call me that. Yes. For sure. That thing got stuck for 40 minutes and you still got on it? No, you got it. Hey, big dog. Hey, you got it. I'm not here to, you know what? I'm out of the line, so the line's shorter for you. I want you to ride it faster. If that's your journey, it's your journey. I'm not getting on that thing. What is it called? Siren's Devil's Curse? Oh, no. Come on now. I'm not getting on that.
Have you seen the video of when it does work? It goes horizontal and then just stops and tips to a vertical drop. When it starts working again, I might give it a shot.
When it starts working again, we don't know when that'll be. TBD.
I also tell you, as a roller coaster rider, sometimes you're pulling up to your worlds of fun, and you look up and the Mamba's stuck, and you're like, ah, could be a little bit of a time before I get on that one. But you don't stop. You don't just not get on the rides.
I'm telling you right now, I don't need to ride roller coasters. I cheer from Missouri. That's enough thrills for my life. Keep it right here as the drive.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.